It's not difficult to find the words thanks and thanksgiving in the book of Psalms. Depending on which translation that you use, the terms appear more than 70 times in the Old Testament's songbook. And I wasn't surprised that it is a big subject in the Bible. And so to help this to be a brief challenge, I'm concentrating primarily on the term thanksgiving itself. And I would like to organize some thoughts around three ways that the word appears in Psalms. It's a celebration, it's heartfelt praise, and it's a sacrifice. First, our thanksgiving is celebration. And I'm using celebrate here in the sense of joyfully featuring something as important and noteworthy. For example, we sometimes refer to celebrating the Lord's table here at Trinity because we want to regard it as an important event in our church calendar year. In Psalm 42, the writer said that his soul thirsted for God because his soul was in despair. And I took a second look at that psalm, and he went on to say this. He recalled the times when he went to the temple for worship. He said, "For I used to go over with the multitude and walk them to the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude celebrating a festival." So he joined other pilgrims, as it were, to go up to the temple at Jerusalem. If you're going to Jerusalem in the Holy Land, you're always going up to Jerusalem. If you're going away from Jerusalem, even though eventually you may end up at a higher elevation, if you're leaving Jerusalem, you're going down from Jerusalem, as you watch the text do that, especially in the New Testament. If we are not careful, gathering to worship can become routine and commonplace for us. Instead, when we can meet together, we should celebrate it. We should thank God for the privilege that we have of worshiping Him along with other believers, especially when we can do so without being persecuted for it. Because the fact is that there are many in the world, even today, who cannot freely gather as we do this evening. And we should give God thanks for that as well. David wrote about his joy of worship in Psalm 26. "I will go around your altar, Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders." God's wonders are mentioned more than 20 times in the book of Psalms, as David does again in Psalm 9:1. "I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders." Now, God's wonders certainly are those observable miracles, especially the Old Testament, that people saw, dividing the Red Sea for Israel to cross out of Egypt and leave that country, or sending the manna to feed them in the wilderness for 40 years. But there are other wonders of the Lord for us to see. We won't be seeing the Red Sea open up or manna fall, but we should ask those who look through telescopes or microscopes at things that God created. His wonders are everywhere. We are literally in the midst of them. And those who can't find God's wonders are willingly blind and deaf. Those who know God should tell of his works with joyful singing. That's Psalm 107:22. And in Psalm 118, that's the middle chapter of our English Bibles, that Psalm 118, the psalmist urges us to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy is everlasting. We have the privilege of giving thanks to the living God. He is eternally good and merciful. And those times that we have to do that should be a celebration as we gather. And second, our thanksgiving is heartfelt praise. Psalm 67:30 reads, "I will praise the name of God with song and exalt him with thanksgiving." In our midweek services recently, Pastor Greg has been leading a Bible study of the various names and titles of God that he gave to reveal himself. And Greg has reminded us that to refer to the name of God is to refer to God himself. So when the psalmist wrote that he will praise God's name, he certainly meant that he will praise God himself, which of course is easy to understand, I think, as we just simply think things out. We should praise the Lord. We should praise him for who he is. Sometimes we forget to do that. We praise him for what he does, and that's certainly wonderful. It's good. He does plenty. But we should also praise him for who he is, and he shows us who he is by what he does. He is our wise and loving creator. First thing we can do in the morning is praise him for another day, praise him for life, praise him if we slept reasonably well, praise him for hot water when we get in the shower. We have many things to praise the Lord for. He is the righteous and holy judge. We're in a messed up world, we know that. It won't always remain that way. The Lord will set things right one day. He is the righteous one, and he is a holy judge. He is our tender and long-suffering helper. We could go on and on of who God is and how he has shown himself to be those wonderful things in our life as he has acted on in our behalf, as he's taught us truth, as he's given us every blessing. So what the Lord does is a result of who he is. Psalm 77:12 reads, "I will meditate on all your work and on your deeds with thanksgiving." And so we need to meditate on the Lord's wonderful work and on those deeds that he has done, not just in history, but in our own personal lives, in our family as well, and friends' lives. And we can certainly give thanksgiving for all of that. Lord's given us physical life and all that we need to live it. He's provided us with eternal spiritual life as well. And we don't have to toil or pay for any of it. These are gifts for his children. It is all by grace, because he loves us. I trust that by God's help, we will live out the words of the psalmist, "I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing your praises. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God." It's from Psalm 138 and 147. And we should continue seeking to know God better through our thanksgiving. And we need to give him our heartfelt praise. Well, our thanksgiving is celebration, and it is heartfelt praise. And third, our thanksgiving is sacrifice. In Old Testament worship, there were five types of sacrifices that God ordained for Israel and their worship. Two of those five were required because they had to deal with sin. And anybody in Israel who wanted to remain in Israel had to deal with sin, one way or the other. But the other three of the five were for different reasons. There were several various reasons for them, but they were voluntary. One of those voluntary offerings God himself gave, this is in Leviticus, early chapters, one of those offerings was called the peace offering, otherwise known as the thank offering. A person who brought a thank offering was not seeking forgiveness. He was not looking for reconciliation with God. One commentator wrote that the offerer was already reconciled to and in covenant with God. Instead, the offerer was simply expressing his gratitude or thanks to the Lord for his general care, his faithfulness, for supplying a specific need or giving a blessing that person was giving thanks for. Several psalms refer to a sacrifice of thanksgiving. This could refer to a specific offering made in the temple in thanks to God, as I mentioned, but it certainly referred to the offerer's heartfelt praise, and we'll see in Psalm 50 in verse 14, the exhortation here: offer God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. And verse 23, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. In Psalm 56:12, I will render thanksgiving offerings to you, the psalmist said. And then there's the great Psalm 100, urging that we, as we've already heard this evening, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courtyards with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. That perhaps is the most familiar verse, from the Psalms at least, that has the word thanksgiving, that you would know. That verse, many of you, because you've memorized that psalm. Of course, today we do not come to the Jerusalem temple with sacrifices in our hands, material offerings that as Israel brought, but we are to come before the Lord with our praise and our thanksgiving. The writer of Hebrews, as you should be familiar for if you're a tender here at Trinity, was familiar with temple worship and its offerings, as well as the scriptures that define praise as sacrifice. And it's the writer of Hebrews that wrote this, that God's redeemed people are to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips praising his name. Hebrews 13, 15. In a few moments, some of us will give God a sacrifice of praise. He delights in it. And others are glad to hear it. Others who love God are glad to hear your sacrifice of praise, praising God for who he is, praising God for what he has done, for the blessings that he gives and pours out to us, for the knowledge that he gives to us through his word, for the assurance that he gives us by his Spirit, whom he has sent to indwell us if we're his children. I trust we'll all be determined to demonstrate our gratitude to God for giving us his truth, for showing us his loving kindness, generously supplying every need that we have, and so many more things. And we hope to hear about a number of those things here in just the next few minutes. And as we think of giving thanks, let's look at our thanksgiving as a celebration. We gather and we rejoice in it. We're happy to be here together. In each other's company before the Lord. and as heartfelt praise, as we, from the heart, give God praise and bless his name, as the psalmist would say. Very often you'll find that phrase. And as our sacrifice to him who is alone worthy of it. Let's pray.